I'm just going to have one reading to begin with today, and it's a little bit longer than our typical scripture reading, but I'm going to be referring back to almost all parts of this in my talk today, so I encourage you to listen closely for some of the imagery that's in here, because there will be callbacks to a lot of it. It comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from chapter 3, verses 4 through 18. You'll probably be familiar with parts of this for sure. And it's joining the story as John the Baptist is baptizing folks in Jordan. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways will be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these very stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. And the crowds asked him, then what should we do then? And in reply to them, he said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked the teacher, what should we do then? And he said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And the soldiers asked him, and we, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations. And be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather wheat for his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, many other exhortations he proclaimed, and he proclaimed the good news to all of the people. May we add blessing and meaning to the earth through the reading of these words.
This is Lou Reed. Peter lives out of a wheelchair hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard. Newspapers cover his feet, and his father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got nine brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs. Pedro dreams of being older and killing the old man, but as a slim chance, he's going to the boulevard. He's gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. He's going out to this dirty boulevard. He's going down to the dirty boulevard. This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere a landlord is laughing till he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They just dream of dealing in a dirty boulevard. Give me your hungry, your tired, your poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the Statue of Bigotry says. Your poor, huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with. Just dump them on the boulevard. They're going to end up on the dirty boulevard. They're going out to the dirty boulevard. They're going down to the dirty boulevard. Outside is a bright night. There's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars arrive by a limousine. The Klieg lights shoot up over the skyline of Manhattan, but the lights are out on the mean streets. A small kid stands by the Lincoln Tunnel. He's selling plastic roses for a buck. The traffic is backed up to 39th Street. The TV whores are calling the cops out for a suck. And back at the Wilshire, Pedro sits there dreaming. He's found a book on magic he found in a garbage can. He looks at the pictures and stares at the cracked ceiling. At the count of three, he says, I hope I can disappear and fly away from this dirty boulevard. I want to fly from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly, 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 fly from the dirty boulevard. I want to fly away.
Know that I took the weekdays off this week, so trying to decide what to do about a message today, I decided that I would revisit a message that I'd written before. This one is a message that I wrote 20 years ago when I was in divinity school. I preached it for my homiletics class. When I finished, my homiletics professor, Dr. Brad Braxton, said to me, Mark, can you preach that sermon in a Presbyterian church? And I said, well, not if I want to stay employed. And he laughed and he said, you know what? You preach like that and you can preach on the streets with me. I took it as a pretty big compliment. But I'm also very pleased to say it's also a sermon that you have heard before. This sermon I did preach in Presbyterian Church. I actually preached it on the Sunday of my installation service right here in this church. So I thought it would be a good one to revisit, and also considering the events of the world, which I've updated in this message in a couple of places, I think it's a good message to be reminded of. The message is entitled, All Means All. So I'm not really sure what big city it was. It was either Atlanta, San Antonio, or Washington, D.C. See, admittedly, growing up in a small town as I did, in my earliest younger years of traveling, they were all just sort of big cities to me. Places that represented the unknown. Places where I felt lost and a little bit overwhelmed, concrete wildernesses. And on one particular trip, this trip that I'm remembering, I had a stop at an ice cream shop just off of the city square. And the square was encircled by this 3-foot-tall stone wall that seemed to hold up the grassy park that was just littered with benches and people and pigeons. And just off to one edge of the park, a street herald stood perched atop the wall in his stacked stone pulpit. He was dressed in clothes that were tattered and torn. They looked like they had never really been washed. His salt and pepper hair was long and wild and matted. He held up a rugged, ragged Bible in his right hand, and with his head cocked back, he proclaimed to the rooftops, "The time is near. Are you ready for Jesus? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus to be saved from the fires of hell?" Well, when I finished my mint chocolate chip waffle cone, I got up from the park bench where I'd been watching him, and I intentionally walked past him, and I kept watching a fact that did not escape him. He looked at me and says, "Son, do you know Jesus?" I paused for a minute and I said, "Yes, sir, but I think the Jesus you know, the Jesus I know, they're not the same Jesus." I said it with very little thought, and I regret it to this day. I cannot help but think of my experience with this modern-day prophet. When I think about John the prophet of over 2,000 years ago, the one we just read about in the scriptures, the one crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the one yet to come, setting a foundation and the way of Jesus. As the text themselves say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Much like folks understood Jesus to be fulfilling scriptures when he read them in the temple, in the quoting of these Hebrew scriptures, some also understood John to be fulfilling them as well. He is the voice crying in the wilderness. He is laying the foundation, the path, the highway in the wilderness. And when he made the proclamation we read today, his imagery did not fall on deaf ears. You see, those that were listening to John, they knew about the highways that the Roman Empire was cutting through the deserts, which sweltered with heat. They were straightaways that cut through the hills and raised up the valley, getting access to everyone, making the deserts a doable thing for everyone. See, in having John the Baptist speak of lowering the mountains and raising up the valleys, the writer of Luke is suggesting that the Jesus movement is going to be about removing the obstacles in this world, giving access to everyone, making the modern day deserts a doable thing for everyone. That declaration of removing obstacles is a declaration in which, unfortunately, still needs to be carried into many parts of Christianity today. Declaring the necessity of removing obstacles, of making modern-day deserts a doable thing, is the theme that one of the 20th century's prophets carried into the heart of many of today's deserts. Dr. Martin Luther King, a voice crying out in the deserts of racism and classism, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Make no mistake. Dr. King knew the significance of the words of John the Baptist in that speech. In that same speech, he said, "I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character. He was a voice that cried out for the millions of voices that still cry out today. They were crying for a higher way, calling for paths to not be so unnecessarily cluttered with the mountains and the pitfalls of the powerful. They were crying out not only for help, but to help. How do we prepare the way? How do we begin to usher in the basileia, the kingdom of God, God's new social order? Level the playing field. Dr. King saw it. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's what happens when we level the playing field. All flesh will experience the love of God and the love that God intends for creation. Not white flesh, not male flesh, not rich flesh, not intellectual flesh, not American flesh, not heterosexual flesh. Flesh, flesh. All flesh. What then does this highway look like? What should we do? Well, in the book of Luke, it was nothing less than a social revolution. Verses 10 through 14 have no parallel in the other Gospels. It's not from some other source. It's unique to Luke. And the author put it there for a very pointed reason. And resounding in its rhetorical refrain is this question, what should we do? What should we do? Now, among those who came to be baptized were at least three social groups, each asking, what should we do? John speaks to each of them. The wealthy should share their wealth of food and closets of clothing with those in need. The mountains and the hills will be made low, and every valley shall be lifted up. The tax collectors are to stop their shifty ways, the crooked will be made straight. And the soldiers are to stop taking physical advantage of their social position. The Mesopotamian mafia is to cease and desist. The rough ways will be made smooth. It is nothing less than social revolution. Now, the danger here, the danger is in allowing this to become about charity rather than about social justice. Luke is not talking solely about the abuse of power, but also about the source of power. It's not just about the people, it's about the systems they create, which allow some people to exercise domination over others. But as today's text says, the axe is at the root of those kinds of trees. Trees of domination. Trees like the lynching trees in the U.S. Just like the tree that stood not far from here with Eugene Harrison, the young black man who was hung for a crime that he had not been convicted of. They are the very trees of which Billie Holiday sung her song that helped start the civil rights movement. Strange fruit. Thank you.
on the leaves and blood at the roots. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scenes of the gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and flesh. Then the sudden smells of here is a fruit that the crows will pluck for the rain to gather, for the wind to sigh, for the sun to rot, for the tree to here is a strange and bitter cry.
You see, systems of domination bear fruit of domination. The same strange fruit that white supremacists hung from the trees in the South, the same strange fruit that Nazis baked in the ovens of Auschwitz, the same strange fruit that was diced and sliced with machetes in Rwanda, the same strange fruit that was left to rot to death in Africa because the cost of it would undercut someone's bottom line, the same strange fruit that is battered and bruised because of homophobic bullying, the same strange fruit that is crushed under the knee of the very people who are supposed to be protecting them, the same strange fruit is pulverized with bombs and bullets in the Holy Land today. Trees that bear these fruits, systems that bear these fruits, are to be cut down and thrown into the fire. They are the chaff that God wills to be burned in an unquenchable fire. For God's, in God's desired social order, they will bear fruits of domination no longer. As theologian Walter Wink has said, it is easy to see that in the United States, our entire social system has become an economy. Profit has become the highest social good. Consumerism itself has become the fruit of our burdens. It is truly appalling, and it stands over and against what Jesus tried to teach the world about God's desired order. Think about it. In a social system that is grounded in the economy, consumerism is the only universally available means of participating. The work ethic has been replaced with the consumer ethic, the temple with the skyscraper, the hero with the billionaire, the saint with the executive, and theology by a consumer ideology. This modern day replacement can continue no more. Another part of the problem is this: we practice charity much more frequently than we practice justice. And in doing so, we allow systems of domination to stay in place. You see, charity tries to fix up people so that the system will work better. But justice. Justice tries to fix up the system so that people can work better. Now, as today's text tells us, the axe is at the root of the system. Claiming to be justified by your social position is not justifiable, for God can raise up socialites from stones. Libertarian theologian Gustavus Gutierrez says, the domination system is so internalized that the focus is not where it should be. See, ultimately, charity focuses on helping those who are better off financially to discover the meaning of life, while justice assists the dehumanized to recover their humanity. The mountains and the hills will be made low. Every valley shall be lifted up. The crooked will be made straight. The rough ways will be made smooth. Much like Jesus in the temple, in the saying of these scriptures, we should be fulfilling them. We are to be voices crying out in the wilderness. We are to follow this example, maintaining domination-free relationships in the discipleship of equals that includes all flesh. We are to lord over no one, no one, for God can raise up lords from stones. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. Most scholars completely agree that Jesus himself rejected titles of domination that people tried to give to him. Actually, in the very next chapter of Luke, the devil itself insinuates Jesus' kingly title, saying, behave like the Messiah. Be like the great heroes of Israel. Jesus refuses to take the title. For God can raise up great heroes and stones. We are reminded of a king whose throne was a manger, whose wealth was a cross, and whose crown was made of thorns. His very life confronted the economic inequalities that are the basis of domination, marginalization, and inequality. A voice. A voice was crying out in the wilderness, and I did not hear it. I mean, I heard the crazy man in Christ, whose voice was crying out across the sea of people, who also did not hear him, but I didn't hear the voice of the one crying. Thankfully, someone else did. All I had for that modern-day John was condemnation. As he looked down from his stacked stone pulpit at me, I looked down my theological elitism at him. I think the Jesus you know and the Jesus I know aren't the same Jesus. My heart sank when I asked John, an elderly man who was following behind me, didn't just walk on by. The man actually sat down next to John's feet. And without saying a word, he placed a small brown paper sack between them, then took out his pocket knife and carefully slit the bag down two sides, and peeled the opposing faces back until they lay flat across the stacked stone pulpit that was now becoming an altar. With a slight nod of his head, he invited John to partake in his sandwich and chips. And the rest of the world busily bustled by, attending to their lives. And while they did, that old man and John ate the feast there together on an earthly altar of stacked stones. Me? I began to realize there was nothing fulfilling about my ice cream indulgence. The real confectionery indulgence that day took place when those two men broke bread together. In that moment, The radical justice of God was realized here on earth in the midst of a concrete wilderness. A voice. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Remove the obstacles. Live outside the power structures. Be a person of power with, not a person of power over. Be with people where they are. We too must have the dream that one day, even in this great nation of the United States, a sometimes desert nation that sits on the mountains of superiority, sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice for all flesh.
This song was written by, performed in the 80s by a band called Midnight Oil. I remember it from the 80s. I didn't really pay attention to what it was about, but I have since learned that this was an Australian band who wrote the song about protecting the indigenous people of Australia from industrial agriculture and mining. Since that time, this song has been reperformed and covered and re-recorded by other bands in very large concert settings around the world to protest the climate change and indigenous rights. It's going to sound very 1980s. When they talk about 45 degrees, it's Celsius, which equals 118 degrees Fahrenheit. And you might notice that it's too long when it gets to the chorus. Out where the river broke, the flood would and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam in 45 degrees. The time has come to say there's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share. The time has come. A fact. It belongs to them. Let's give it back. How can we dance when the earth is turning? How do we sleep when our beds are burning? How can we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep when our beds are burning? The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent now, to pay our share. From Kintore East to Wendumu, the western desert lives and breathes in 45 degrees. The time has come to say there's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share. How can we dance when our
Attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus, which encourage us to love all people. We recognize that our lives are not always as welcoming as they should be. We do wish to love everyone, and we do try to love everyone, but it's just a whole lot easier to love some people compared to others. We admit that the people that tend to be easier to love also tend to be the people who look a whole lot like us. May we open our hearts and minds that we might see a reflection of love in all people. And in that, may we see that all people look a whole lot like us. Let us be forevermore open to that kind of inclusivity. Let us learn to love with hearts wide open. Let us be inspired to live lives that include everyone equally. Let us continue to grow to be a people who exclude no one for no reason. Not for the color of their skin, their sexuality, the amount of money in their bank account, the job they hold, the religions they follow, or the country in which they were born. And when we don't, may we recognize it, correct it, and continue to learn to love with hearts wide open. Receive the blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.